Take your Bibles and turn to Acts. Been looking at Acts a lot lately. You know, Acts, one of the great things I remember when I first got in the Word is as looking at Acts and reading Acts, and the point was that, you know, this is the way we should be living. This is the way we should expect to see God work in our lives, and that's really the way God intended us to be, you know, getting blessed, eating together, speaking the word together, enjoying life together, and seeing people get born again and healed and saved and all that stuff. So anyway, so chapter 10 has to do with Peter, right? And Peter is goes to Cornelius's house to speak the word to him. But I want to read verse 34 first and foremost, and then we'll go back and or we'll continue to read on. It says, so Peter went to Cornelius' house, and Cornelius was a centurion. He was a Gentile. And up to this point, no Gentiles had been part of the church. Nobody had been born again who was a Gentile. Up to this point, it was all Jews. Now, this occurs 10, 11, 12 years after the day of Pentecost. You know, the day of Pentecost is Acts chapter 2. From Acts chapter 2 to chapter 10 is about 10 or 11, 12 years. I forget exactly what it is, but it's a period of time in there. And up to that point, it was just Jews. So then Peter is in another place. He goes there and he speaks the word and he heals somebody. And then God sends an angel to the centurion, Cornelius. He says, go send guys to get Peter and bring him back, and he'll tell you everything because you deserve to get blessed because you've been a faithful man praying and all that stuff. So in chapter 10, verse 34, it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. Now, you know, that's an interesting statement. It's used a number of times in the Word of God, referring to God, and it's also used in the Old Testament to refer to or in God's directions to people. The judges were to be no respecter of persons. You know, they weren't supposed to be corrupted by people giving them gifts or because somebody had a better place in life or somebody was more educated or richer or anything like that. They were to be no respecter of persons. The only thing that they were to consider was what God's law said. Okay? So it says here that God is no respecter of persons. Well, what does it mean? And we know that the keys to the word's interpretation have to do with three things, right? In the verse, you know, do we understand the words that are written here? Well, sure, they're easy to understand, aren't they? God does not respect one person over another, or he's no respecter of persons. Then there's the context. What's the context speaking about and where it's been used before? Well, in this case, the context is important because it has to do with people getting born again. And in that respect, God is a respecter of, no respecter of persons. Now, he is a respecter of persons in a lot of different ways because, remember, in the Old Testament, who did God entrust the word to?
Israel.
Who were God's chosen people? Israel. You know, when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt to the Red Sea, who did God respect? Israel. And who did he not respect?
Egypt.
He buried them in the ocean. You know, so he didn't respect them very much. He kind of put it to them. So let's go on and read here. So it says, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So here's a qualification, right? God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, every people, ethnos is the word nation, means every group of people. He that feareth or respecteth him, referring to God, and worketh righteousness is accepted with God or by God, right? the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after that, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Okay, so here he's explaining to Cornelius about Jesus Christ, right, and God's plan of redemption. And then he says, and we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree, Jesus Christ. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. So in this short little thing here, this short little presentation, Peter gives Cornelius all the information that he needs and the people that are there with him, because he invited all his friends and relatives in to hear this. All they needed to hear to get born again, didn't he? That Jesus Christ is the Lord, the Son of God, and that God raised him from the dead. And what do you have to do to get born again, right? Confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. So there you have it, right there. So, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. He showed him openly, and he showed him to witnesses. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Now, how do you like that? Jesus Christ is the judge of the quick and the dead. You know, it's a little more information there, isn't it? And Jesus Christ is the judge of the quick and the dead because God made him that. You know, he's kind of in charge right now. I mean, God's there, but he gave all this authority and all this responsibility to Jesus Christ. So again, he's explaining more. And he's explaining how these guys went and they preached to the Jews. And to him, verse 43, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And to him, whosoever. Whosoever is what?
Whosoever.
Whosoever, Jew and Gentile. And that, therefore, God is no respecter of persons. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of Holy Spirit. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. You know, what a great thing. This is the practical aspect of putting into the coming about of the mystery. You know, just in chapter 9, Paul gets born again. So these guys still don't know the mystery. But here in a practical sense, they realize that God has made the new birth available to Gentiles as well as Jews. Now, they don't all understand all the other stuff. They don't understand it's the one body and Jews and Gentiles make up a new man, and because Paul is not out there preaching it yet. He's just beginning. But this is the beginning. This is where it starts. And what an amazing thing. And in this respect, God is no respecter of persons. You know? Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. So specifically, God is no respecter of persons with respect to whoever decides to believe in the name of Jesus Christ and confess him as Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead. Anybody can be born again. Anybody can become a part of the body of Christ. And in that respect, God is no respecter of persons. Chapter 2 of 1 Timothy and verse 3 it says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. All men. All men is without exception, right? All men without exception. God would have all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. It's a very important and there. He wants us all to know the truth. Now, there are lots of people who get born again but don't know the truth. There are lots of people that think they're Christians and are born again that aren't, because they haven't confessed Jesus as Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead. They think if they confess their sins, that'll get them there. They're not right, are they?
Nope.
They get dunked in the water, dry cleaned, or anything else, but if they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and confess him and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, they don't get there. Lots of people think it's by good works. It's going to get them to heaven. You know? Well, I work so hard. I did all this stuff. But do you believe in Jesus Christ? You know, if you look at Hindus, what they go through to get to wherever they get to, they do all kinds of crazy stuff. Or, any other religion. It's all about works. That's the cool thing about Christianity. Christianity is the only one that it talks about grace. It's the only one that talks about how you weren't good enough to do it for yourself, so God did it for you. And then it's by grace, and we just accept that grace. And then in response to that grace, we do other things because we have the Spirit of God within us. So that enables us to really do good works, right? It enables us to help people and bless people and get people born again and deal with life in a godly way. Let's go to John. So what about people that don't believe in Jesus Christ? Well, God's no respecter there either. John chapter 3, verse 16. Chapter 3 of John is one of the most incredible chapters, isn't it? It starts off with Nicodemus going to speak to Jesus Christ, and he explains to him about being born again, which a lot of Christians don't understand that even. You can talk to some Christians, you can say, are you born again? They go, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not that kind of Christian.
Yeah.
There's only one kind of Christian, and that's to be born again. And if you're not born again, you're not a Christian. You know, it doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized or how many times you've been confirmed or anything else. But in verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved the world. What does that mean? He loved
everyone.
The whole world.
Everyone.
He so loved everyone, even those that reject him, that curse him. So in that respect, God was no respecter of persons, was he? You know, he loved everybody so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And it's through Jesus Christ. You know, and so God set the standard, right? So God set the standards, and whatever standards God set, he's no respecter of persons, is he? Now, if you don't meet the standard, then you don't get the blessing. But if you meet the standard, you get the blessing. Goes on to say, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So if you don't believe in the name of the Son of God, if you don't confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised from the dead, what are you?
Condemned.
You're condemned. So in that respect, God is no respecter of persons either. There's no way around it. There's only two ways to go. The standard is Jesus Christ. The only way to God is by Jesus Christ. And that's the standard. So God's no respecter of persons. If you believe, you're born again and you get all the blessings. And if you don't believe, you're condemned. Pretty easy. Pretty cut and dry. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So that's that. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. You know, it's kind of funny because people don't understand this. They don't understand what equality means. They don't understand that whole concept or idea. You know, when the founding fathers, who were pretty much Bible-believing guys, wrote the Declaration of Independence, they declared that all men were created equal before God. Well, that's true in a way, right? All men are created equal. They all have the same sin nature, not because God created them that way, but because Adam did what he did. But they all have the opportunity to get born again.
Right.
You know, and, you know, just like God made all men or all of Israel equal before his law. You know, everybody was equal before the law in the Old Testament. Nobody got any more or any less. Nobody was any different than anybody else. The law applied or was supposed to apply to everyone equally, right? Which is where the founding fathers got the idea in the Constitution of everybody is supposed to be equal before the law. It's not like everybody's supposed to be equal because not everybody's equal, right? Just the way it is. If I was smart, I'd be an engineer like Jimmy, you know, and make the big bucks. Or, you know, if I was talented, I could play music like Warren or something like that. See, we're not all equal. We're all different, you know, and that's just the way it is. But we're all equal in the sight of God. And we, if we're born again, we all have the same spirit, don't we? We all have the same enablements. We all have the same blessings. We all have the same opportunity to speak God's word. We all have the opportunity to believe God's word. And to the extent and degree we believe God, we see God's results. He doesn't see any of us any different from anybody else. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. You know, it's kind of cool when you think about it. You know, sometimes you see somebody go, wow, he's a great believer. Well, so are you, right? And, you know, to the degree and the extent that we see God's word work in our lives is to the degree a lot of, you know, in a lot of ways that we push ourselves to believe. You know, if you don't push yourself to believe, you know, you may not see things. But we should, from the moment we're born again till the day we die, we should be endeavoring to grow in God's word and to believe God more and bigger and to the best of our abilities. It, you know, it should never get old. It should never be tired of believing. It's so easy. Okay, 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to who?
Everyone
that does what?
Believes.
Wow, that's the great equalizer. You know, it's the power of God to everyone that believes. If you believe, you know, and if you don't believe, who's, it's not God's fault you don't believe. You know, he gives you his word. I was thinking, you know, we do this thing now with the prayer, and for those of you that were at camp and signed up, but anybody that wants to could still sign up. We do the Acts 4, you know, pray every day for 15 minutes and ask God to for boldness and to see signs and miracles and healings in the name of Jesus Christ, and that the body of Christ is all of one heart and one mind. Okay? And, you know, I think about that and I'm praying and I'm thinking about boldness and speaking the word and I think, you know, it's interesting. We used to, I remember going out witnessing, we'd say, you know, if you could ask God for anything, what would it be? And people would say different stuff, you know. $1 million or, you know, good health or whatever. But I was thinking, you know, next time I get an opportunity, I'm going to ask somebody and say, if God is real and you could stand before his throne, what's the one thing you would tell him or ask him? Because I know whatever they answer or whatever they say, I can say, well, he's already given you the answer to that. It's in his word. You just didn't look it up. You just didn't find out about it. Because he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness in his word, right? So it's all there. Pretty amazing. So it is the power. The word of God is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith or believing to believing, as it is written, the just shall live by believing. The righteous shall live by believing. That's how we're to live. We're to live by believing. We're to give God everything. We're to look to God to be our sufficiency and our strength. When we obey and believe God's word, his standards, his laws, we get blessed, right? Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith or believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Does everybody in the world have peace with God?
No.
No. No. If you don't, if you're not a Christian, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you don't have peace with God, right? You're at enmity with God. You're an enemy of God. You could be the nicest, most kind, gentlest, philanthropic person in the world, but if you're not born again, you're an enemy of God. It's the way it goes. You know, and then you say, well, how could God be so mean? Well, I don't know. It says in my Bible that God is a just God, a merciful God, a righteous God, the true God. So I don't, it's not up to me to make those judgments, is it? God's already made that judgment, and he's set the standard, and he's the one that sets the standard. You know, ever watch TV and somebody gets arrested for something, you think, wow, you know, I feel bad for that person. They shouldn't have got arrested for that, or they made a mistake. But the law's the law, right? And that, so nothing you can do about it. I remember this lady drove across the bridge into New Jersey, and she had a handgun by accident, and she got arrested for carrying a handgun illegally in New Jersey. Well, you know, the law's the law. That's the way it goes. You know, if you get caught speeding and you say, oh, I didn't realize the speed limit, well, that's the way it goes. See, God's word is God's word. So if somebody's an enemy, they're an enemy. That's, you know, that's God's decision. That God, it's God's standard. Then it says, by whom also we have access by faith or believing into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we have access and we have peace. Not everybody has access and not everybody has peace, do they?
Right.
We have peace. We can stand before God face to face and make our requests known with boldness in front of the throne of grace because God has given us that access. He's given us that peace and we have it and we all have that same access and we all have that same peace because Jesus Christ paid the price for all of us equally. He didn't suffer more for you than me, did he? He suffered the same for everybody. How about that? Does Joe unbeliever have access to God?
Yeah.
Only if he believes in Jesus Christ and gets born again. He has access to do that. Whether he chooses to do that or not is up to him. Or, you know, if somebody tells him about it. But he could decide to believe. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. So, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places or in the heavenlies in Christ. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Us, the born-again believers, Jew and Gentile, the body of Christ. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He didn't bless one person with less blessings than another, did he? He didn't give Jim Davis more blessings because he's taller.
He holds more spirit.
Yeah. He didn't get more spirit. He didn't get more promises. We all get the same. Then it goes on to say, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. You know, Sandy Ellickson is not more holy than I am just because she's prettier. That's just the way it is. We all have the same amount of holiness. We all have the same amount of righteousness. You know, God's no respecter of persons as far as what he gives. He gives us all the same. What a great God. He's no respecter of persons, but you have to qualify that. You have to understand what it's talking about. He's no respecter of persons concerning us as believers. We all get the same. He's no respecter of persons to all mankind in that everybody has the opportunity to become a believer and is born again. But if you are an unbeliever, he's also no respecter of persons. You're all condemned. That's the way it is. Let's go to Hebrews 11. So God's no respecter of persons. You know, we're all more than conquerors. All of us cannot be separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We all have that love. He loves us all. It says in chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith or without believing is impossible to please him, please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yeah. And that's true of us. He rewards us as we seek him and believe him. You know, it's impossible to please God without believing. You know, you could dress up as nice as you can be and have your hair cut and wear your best clothes to Sunday, go to meeting. And if you don't believe, it doesn't please him. You know, it's sometimes hard for our brains to wrap our minds around those things, but it's all about believing. That's what God really honors, that we believe him and trust him and look to him. And when we do, he brings his word to pass. But as far as being believers, we've all gotten the same. We've all gotten the same blessings. We've all gotten the same righteousness. We've all got the same spirit within us. And we're all members of the body of Christ, Jew or Gentile. We're all the same. You know, we're all of the church of God. You know, we're no longer Gentiles. We're no longer Jews. We're no longer bond or free or anything else, right? We're all just God's kids. And that's what he cares about. And he'll bless one as much as he'll bless the next because he's no respecter of persons as far as his kids go. Okay, so amen and amen. Hallelujah.